Hi, this is Matt Haig, and thank you for listening to Hanshin Tigers English News.
Hanshin Tigers, Ichiban, come on, know that Ichiban, Hanshin Tigers, Ichiban.
Hello everybody in H10 land, Hanshin Tigers English News. This is our podcast. This is episode number 42, and it is August the 7th, 2016. Very exciting time to be alive, is it not? I'm T-Ray, your host, and with me as co-host is...
Good old Joe.
Joe, you don't sound too excited to be alive. You doing okay?
Doing great.
Good.
Not too bad.
Good, good. Okay, well, good to hear that. Just so you folks know, it is the 7th, and tonight's game has gone extra long. And we're still in the top of the ninth right now as we record. Usually we record about 30 minutes after the end of the game, but this one's going long. Lots of walks, lots of stuff going on. So anyhow, since it's episode 42, let me tell you about my favorite number 42, and that would be Tsuyoshi Shimoyanagi. Does that name ring a bell at all to you, Joe?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Shimoyanagi, a great pitcher that came over from the Nippon Ham Fighters. And just really showed a lot of toughness for the Tigers. The most memorable moment with him would be in 2007 when he was pitching, and I think that he had a pretty good lead. But there were a couple of errors that happened in a row with the shortstop, Shuta Tanaka. And he blew a gasket, and he slammed his glove to the ground and yelled at Tanaka right there on the field. And then the next pitch, he purposely wanted to get a ground out to shortstop to give Tanaka a chance to, you know, make up for it. And it was a perfect double play grounder, and Tanaka kind of hesitated and didn't get it second fast enough, and so they didn't turn the double play, and so he yelled at him again. It was just a really funny moment, and you should see it again and again on TV. In fact, I'm going to put that in the show notes. I'll put the YouTube video there, so you can check that out later. By the way, also this past week, I was in the hospital having eye surgery done. Yeah, that's right. When you've got Graves' disease, sometimes your eyes bug out, and as a result, I had to go in and get some cosmetics done. So don't worry about me, everybody. I will be okay. I am not okay right now, but I will be soon.
At least you got to see some baseball, though, right?
Yeah, I did. I got to see, and you know, that is a blessing in itself, to have eyes to be able to see, and that, you know, after the surgery, hopefully they'll be better, too. So we are going to talk about the week that was. This is the first week of the long road trip. We are going to choose our players of the week. And for the first time in ages, we are going to hear from the fantasy boys. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Stick around. We will be right back. Recap. Let's talk about the week that was and how the week started, shall we? We were facing the Yokohama DeNA BayStars, which is always a treat, or at least this year, it has been a real treat for us. So we went into Yokohama, and as I said, I was on a hospital bed for the first part of this one. But heading into Yokohama, actually, in the season series at this point was 8 wins, 4 losses, and 1 tie heading into this series. So pretty good in our favor, despite the fact that DeNA has really turned it on of late. And one of the reasons that our season series mark is so good against them is actually since I think maybe around the middle of May, we've only faced them for one series, which means
it's been a while.
Yeah. So we went against the Giants or Carpen Giants heading into Interleague. Then we played Interleague. Then after Interleague, we played a week. Then we got DeNA, and then we haven't played them since until this series. So a real long time. And DeNA has really improved themselves. And the Tigers of late have really improved themselves as well. So let's go without further ado. Tuesday, we bring Yuta Iwasada to the mound, and they bring Yasutomo Kubo, who really got our number the last time we played them, June the 30th. It was H10 Day at Koshien, and we lost 3-0. Well, anyways, let's see how this one goes. Let's go through the scoring. And I'll start this one out, Joe, because in the bottom of the second, with two outs and runners on first and third, their catcher, Tobashira, hit one to left field, bringing in a run, 1-0 DNA.
Yep, so, you know, after the second, we're down. You're hoping that, you know, we can get a run at some point really quickly after to follow it up, but that wasn't the case.
No.
Until the seventh inning. And then we had Gomez with no outs, runners on second and third with the count 3-0, and hit a grounder that bounced over the third baseman for a hit to left to score the tying run. So it's 1-1. And then Toritani comes up with a pinch hit with runners on first and third and still no outs. And on a 3-1 count, gets a hit to right to gain the lead. And that's 2-1 Hanshin after the seventh.
2-1 Hanshin, and Iwasada is still hanging in there. He actually came in the eighth, and it was in the bottom of the eighth, actually, on a 1-1 count against Goto, whose nickname is Gomez. He's not Dominican or foreign by any means. Anyways, he hit a solo shot. He's really good at hitting these late inning home runs against us. If you remember him from last year, he hit a bunch against Sinhwan Oh. Anyways, tied the game at 2, but Iwasada finished off the inning, so it's 2-2 heading into the ninth, Joe.
Yeah, and they had a tough time in the ninth. We had ended up one with bases loaded, one out, Takayama up to bat, full count. And he gets the walk. So we get the go-ahead on a walk. And their closer was pretty upset with that. Was it their closer? I think it was their closer.
Yeah, right? It was their closer, yep.
Yeah, and so then continuing on, Yamato has runners on full bases again and then one out on a 1-1 count and gets the hit to right between first and second to score two runs. So it's 5-2 Hanshin. And then to add insult to injury, Nakatani comes up with the runners on first and third and actually hits into a double play, but still scores a run because Yamato was he was at the first going to second, but got him to go into the rundown instead of actually going for the force out, which was kind of strange.
Ah, that's what it was, because, yeah, so I was thinking it was one out and he hit into a double play when I read the box score or whatever, right? And I didn't see the highlight. And I was wondering, how do you score a run on an inning-ending double play? But now it makes sense. If it's a rundown, then, yeah, the ball's still alive.
Yeah, but it was a rundown, but there was a force out. It was the craziest thing.
Well, so that kind of means then that DNA misplayed it, probably.
Right, absolutely.
Or they knew that their easiest chance at a double play was the way that they played it, and unfortunately it cost them the run. You slice it, that's the end of the game, 6-2 for us, and we open this one with a big win. And as I mentioned in the intro, I was hospitalized, and in fact, that was the day of my surgery, so my left eye was completely shut, and my right eye just couldn't handle the stress, and so I saw nothing of that game, Joe. Have you got any comments about it? Because all I can see is the box score, and it's no fun to comment based on what you don't see.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was definitely... good to see the Tigers come out at the end of the game and actually, you know, convert in some situations. So, you know, usually we seem to score some runs kind of early innings and kind of peter out after that. But definitely good to see the guys come up and get some hits towards the end, especially loading the bases in the ninth when it was a tie game. That's huge. So, you know, definitely good. Iwasada was pitching a gem. He had he went 8 innings, 109 pitches. He did give up 7 hits, but he did have 11 strikeouts and 1 walk.
That sounds a lot like his lines from earlier in the year.
Yeah, definitely. A lot more in line with what he was doing previously. So
Hopefully
that's a confidence builder that can build up some more great starts because, you know, our pitching has been pretty solid. You know, there's been, you know, everybody's had their, it seems like every person on the team has had one bad start, you know, in the last maybe month or so. And so as we get later in the week, you'll see the one that we haven't had yet this year. But it was definitely a good you know, good game for the guys.
Nice. Well, I'm glad to hear that. And I was glad to be able to kind of catch wind of that the next morning when I woke up. And I don't know if I checked the internet or what. I don't remember because my eyes and my mind was all crazy. But anyhow, we get the win. That's great. Let's move on to Wednesday. And I actually was okay enough to mostly catch this one. They brought Shun Yamaguchi to the mound. And we brought Atsushinomi to the mound on Wednesday. And this one would have been nice to have. We got a good start on this one, didn't we, Joe?
Yeah. So we started
depending on where you cut off the start. But anyways, yeah.
So Fukudomi comes up with Toritani on second, two out, full count, and gets a double to right, hit it up the right foul line, and we get the lead to start off the first of the inning, which is pretty rare for us to come out with a, you know, top of the first lead. Usually we're giving up that top of the first when we're at home. So
our top three batters in the first inning is, I don't know if they're just waking up out of slumbers, but it seems like a lot of 1-2-3 innings.
Yeah.
But this one was nice to see those couple of hits there, you know, getting us on the board early. However, it was actually nullified very quickly because Nomi plunked the first guy he faced, then a grounder got past Araki, and then it was back-to-back home runs. It was Kajitani with a two-run job, and that was after the error actually cost them a run. And then Tsutsugo with a solo shot, so it's 4-1 after the first inning. What a disappointing way to follow up that first inning run by us. But anyways,
absolutely
4-1 deficit.
Yep, and then going into the third, we actually had a bases loaded opportunity with Haraguchi up to bat, and he grounded into second to end that opportunity in the third with no runs scored. So always tough to get the bases loaded and get nothing out of it. But
is it a bases loaded opportunity or sentence with this team? It seems like it spells our doom so much more than it actually helps us.
Well, yeah, this week there's been some, quite a few, bases loaded scoring. So this week I would say maybe not as much a sentence as previously.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
So then
that was one of them anyways. But
yeah,
go
so
on. Let's
scoring continues in the seventh for the Tigers on a comeback here. Nakatani comes out, comes up with one out and no runners on. And gets a home run to left field to bring it to 4-2. And this is a pinch hit for Nomi in the seventh. So it was about three rows up, but his bat flip made he thought it was up 30 rows because his bat flip was a huge bat flip.
They love the big bat flips. Well, so it's 4-2, and, it's Yokohama, so it's a hitter's field, so you never know what's going to happen. So tell us, Joe. Tell us more, please.
Yeah, so continuing the scoring in the ninth, Gomez up with no runners on and a 1-1 count, cranks a home run to center, and he got it pretty good. And it was about up 15 rows, probably two-thirds of the way up the stands out there. So 4-3, but that was all she wrote. Didn't have anything else.
Yeah.
No gas in the in the tank, so we lose 3-4.
Well, that one came with no outs in the top of the ninth against their closer once again. So it was nice to, pound him with a run, but it would have been nice to follow it with more than strikeout, ground out to pitcher and strikeout,
right,
which is how this one ended, unfortunately. However, that's the way things go. One thing that we got to note about this is that this was the return of Takashi Toritani to the starting lineup.
True.
And the reason that we did that is because he is historically strong against Yamaguchi, and he showed it. He got hits in each of his three at-bats that he faced Yamaguchi. So, yeah, good on him. A double, a single, and a single. His double was the one that ended up turning into our first run.
Right.
When he came around and scored, so good on him. Unfortunately, we were 7-1 without him in the starting lineup, and we plug him in and we lose right away. So that was kind of unfortunate for him and for the team, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a game we should have won. If you look at the hits, we had 7 hits. They had 4 runs on 4 hits, because Nomi had the rough inning in the first and gave up a lot of walks and hit batter. So it really, it's just tough to lose a game when you're scoring that many runs, so... Or giving up that, given you have that many hits and they don't have that many,
Yeah. So Nomi actually, he takes the loss and, he gave up 4 runs, 3 of which were earned, but most of what he did was in the first inning, and it was 2 bad pitches or 3 bad pitches or whatever. But isn't that the way it is? Like, I think all of our pitchers or most of them, many of them have now given up 3 runs in the first inning off of a home run or 2 home runs, right? Because Iwasata did it last Tuesday. We can go back even further. Iwazaki did it a couple of Saturdays ago against the Carp. Iwasata did it on Tuesday against the Swallows. That's the Tuesday before. Then Fujinami did it last Friday against the Dragons, mm-hmm. and now Nomi does it against the DeNA BayStars. So it's all against different teams, but the same result. You know, giving up the big home runs in the first inning to put us behind, and those were all, except for one, resulted in losses for us.
Yeah, it's like, what are they drinking in their, you know, pregame warm-up that we're not, you know?
Right, yeah. We'll go down 1-2-3, and they'll hit a big blast, so...
Yeah,
it's really, really no fun to watch that. But, so our winning streak ends here at 3, I believe. I think we're going for a second 4-game win streak in the past 10 games, and it just wasn't meant to be. But we come back on Thursday, and we are, we are bringing Aoyagi to the mound. They are bringing Petrick to the mound. Petrick is by no means a stud pitcher.
Right, and so to start this off, Toritani gets on with a walk, and then Fukudome comes up and gets a 2-out home run to the right field about 7 rows up and starts it off 2-0. So, you know, another game where we have a beginning lead in the first inning.
Nice. Unfortunately, the Blue Goat, Aoyagi, in the third inning gives up 2 walks. Between, you know, he got a couple of outs, but a couple of walks, and then a 2 RBI double by Tsutsugo down the right field line ties the game at 2. And then in the bottom of the fourth inning, it started with an error by Hojo at third base, but then, they got a couple of hits that ended up bringing home another run, so it's 3-2 now for them. They've got a lead, and it was kind of disheartening in a sense.
Right. And then in the fifth inning, with 1 out, count 1-0. Egoshi comes up and takes a home run to right field again. So second home run of the game to tie it up 3-3. And so definitely looking good. Like we have, you know, the ability to answer this game. But
that's right. Bottom of the seventh inning. Now we have actually gone into our relief, and it was Satterwhite who came in and, okay, how did this one go? He gave up a leadoff single, kind of a bloop single to center. Then there was a sack bunt and then an RBI triple. This one was also to center. However, it wasn't like a super well hit ball. It was actually to a drawn in outfield because they wanted to prevent the run. Instead, it's an RBI triple. Now they've got a runner on third, and then a grounder to third scores a second run. So it's 5-3 heading into the top of the eighth. You know, things are not looking good for us. This could be a second loss in the series.
In the ninth, with runners on second and third, Kano comes up to bat, and he gets a hit to short, gets the first run back. So it's 5-4. The hit to short was a pretty good, pretty close to center, right up the center, but the shortstop made a diving cat kind of to stop it. It was a grounder, so didn't get the out, but he didn't get up in time to make it to first.
Good hustle by Kano. Yeah,
right. And then Egoshi comes up with next with runners on first and third and gets a sack fly to the warning track to tie it up 5-5. So definitely a big comeback by the boys, and I think we have the momentum. And so,
and again, we do this against their closer Yamasaki. So for the third time in 3 days, we actually score some runs on him. The tail of the tape on him is 3 innings pitched, 7 earned runs over this series. But anyway, so it's tied 5-5 heading into the 10th inning.
Right. And then we come up with bases loaded again, 2 outs, and Arai up to bat and actually gets a walk to bring in the lead run. So 6-5. And then Kano comes up with after that with bases loaded, and on an 0-2 count gets a hit to center to score another run, so it's 7-5. So we have a 2-run cushion going into the bottom of the 10th inning, and Mateo comes up and closes it out for us.
Yeah, so issued a walk, but other than that, yeah, he was solid. So good stuff. So this series ends. Tigers win 7-5. Tigers win 2 out of 3. Tigers now lead the season series 10-5-1. 10 wins, 5 losses, and 1 tie. So, really good stuff. And what did we call last week when we were talking about this series, Joe?
We both called 2-1.
We were both right. Pat on the back.
Yeah, Co-host. I did want to mention, though, in that third game, in the seventh inning, we did have a bases loaded and no out opportunity with Gomez up to bat. And Gomez hit into a double play, and then we had a fly out to end the inning. So it was definitely tough to see that.
Yeah, that was the sixth inning, actually. But yeah, actually, though, the thing that I felt about that was I didn't fault Gomez for what he did. They had brought in a reliever to face Gomez in the situation, and oftentimes when a reliever comes in, you know, he wants to get that good start and fire a first pitch strike. And Gomez actually hit it quite well. He just happened to hit it right to the third baseman, so it was an easy 5-2-3 double play. So, yeah, it stinks. The result stinks, but the thought behind what Gomez was doing was fine, and it was just, you know, a misfire, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but again, yeah, the bases loaded, no out. Gremlin came back and haunted us once again.
Yep.
So that was kind of unfortunate. All right, well, let us move forward and into the second series of the week. We are going into Tokyo from Yokohama, and we are facing the, I don't know, in and out of last place, Yakult Swallows.
In and out, they've been at last for a while.
Yeah, yeah, they have. And then I think just for like one day, maybe, the Dragons slid into last, but then the Swallows are right back in there. Anyways, we bring Fujinami to the mound, and they bring Kyle Davies to the mound for this first one.
And so we make it through the first inning with no runs on either team. How about that?
Uh-huh.
So wow. That's a good start. And then, so in the second, bases loaded, one out, Hojo up to bat, and Davies throws a wild pitch, and we get the first run on the board, 1-0. And then with two outs, runners on first and third, Fujinami comes up and actually gets a hit center to score a run. So he's helping himself out there.
His first RBI of the year, by the way. Yeah. Okay.
So it's 2-0 after the second inning. And then continuing on in the fifth inning, Takayama is up with a runner on third and one out and gets a hit to right between the first and second baseman for another run, 3-0, and still nothing out of the Swallows. And then so Fujinami finishes up after seven innings.
Mm-hmm.
Clean. And then in the eighth inning, Takayama comes out, bases loaded, two outs, and gets a hit to center, a kind of a grounder that bounces over the pitcher and right up into center to get two more runs. So it's 5-0 Tigers. And then to add insult to injury, in the ninth, Gomez comes up and gets a back screen home run to make it 7-0. And then Ito comes up right after him and cranks a home run to center as well. Mm-hmm. So we get two home runs and three runs in the ninth to make it 8-0. So we get the shutout win as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And 8-0, big win for the Tigers.
Beautiful win. It was great. Gomez got four hits. Hayata Ito got four hits. Each of them with a home run, obviously. And then Fujinami with his first win since June the 2nd, and just his second win since April 12th. Wow. So it was really nice to see him finally pick up a W and throw a real good quality start. I mean, it really was high quality. So it was really nice. He was the hero of the game, and he seemed really humble up there, which is nice, because the last time he won a game, he was poking fun at Hojo, but he really had no room for that in this one. But he allowed two hits, walked three, and struck out just five. But it seems like lately when he strikes out fewer batters, he actually seems to have a little bit better control, and he gets through more innings, and the result is pretty good. So keep it up, Fujinami.
Yeah, two hits for the whole game. Pretty good effort there. I couldn't tell you the last time we had that few hits against. So
it might be the last time with Fujinami where he pitched that one hitter.
That's
against
true.
The Eagles. That might be the last time. Although, you know, Randy had a couple of real, you know, amazing gems where he always kind of got, you know, messed up a little bit in the sixth, but other than that, he was really mm-hmm. solid. So, yeah. So, 8-0, big win, and we move on to Saturday, and we are going to bring, speaking of Randy Messenger, we are going to bring him to the mound to face Yamanaka. Forgive me, I don't remember your first name. Hirokazu or Hirofumi or Fumikazu or Fumihiro or... I don't know. We could play Shiditori with names all day long, but let's just get into the scoring in this one. So, Randy actually had a very rough first inning, but somehow got out of it scot-free. He threw 32 pitches, just did not have his control at all, was sweating buckets. Anyways, the third inning, he kind of faced a similar scenario, and this time he did not fare so well. So with bases loaded against Ballantyne, he issued a full count walk. He was really distraught over it, but there's the first run. Then Nishida, who is the next batter, he hit one to left and scored another run, and Takayama fumbled it, and that scored another run, so it's 3-0. And then the pitcher, Yamanaka, with one out and the bases loaded, chops one over first base into right field and scores another run, so now it's 4-0. It was a sack fly to left field for the fifth run. That was by Obiki, and Randy's day was over. 2 2/3 innings pitched. Runs against, 4 of them were charged to him. Technically, I would say 5 could have been charged to him because the other runs would have scored, you know, whether Takayama had fumbled or not. But anyways, 5-0, that's the bottom line.
That's 73 pitches.
So he had 73 pitches. But
almost a full day's pitching in 2 2/3.
Yeah. He just did not have his control at all. Like, the first inning, he looked a little bit like Fujinami because he walked two guys and he struck out two guys, and it just looked like he was battling on his own. And even when he was striking guys out, he wasn't hitting Haraguchi's mitt. So, anyways, let's continue with the game.
Yeah, so, you know, after that tough inning, you know, you expect, you know, you hope that the team has something to answer, and they did, but it wasn't a big answer. So, top of the fourth, Fukudome comes up, lead off, and gets a home run to right field to make it 5-1. So you kind of have, you know, hey, we maybe could do something here, but that would be it for the inning.
That'd be it for the Tigers. Honestly, that was pretty much it for their offensive attack in a lot of ways. And then in the bottom of the eighth, with Matsuda on the mound and runners on second and third, Matsuda got Imanami to hit into a kind of a soft liner towards short, and Toritani stretched out his glove and appeared to have it, and then it popped out, and so a run scored on that. So it's 6-1. Hey, guess who didn't get charged with an error? That's right. Toritani, no error on the play. So anyway, 6-1 is the final score. We lose. That stinks. Mm-hmm. That's no fun. Yamanaka has had our number all year and all of last year. By the way, it's Hirofumi. This guy throws submarine style, and I wonder if it's the scouts that just don't know what to tell our players what to do, or like, I don't know, what is it? I just don't get it. Mm-hmm. Any comments on this one, Joe?
No, I mean, the just offense wasn't there, you know, and then the pitching just, you know, Messenger just had his one bad start of the year. I think he said this is his shortest, start of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, it's maybe not his worst because I think he pitched 5 innings and allowed 7 earned runs against the Carp, but he got the win because we won 12-9. That was way early in the year. But anyways, yeah, I mean, you know, it was a very rare bad start for Messenger. I think heading into this one, his quality start percentage, which means a minimum of 6 innings pitched and a maximum of 3 earned runs, his was at 85%.
Yeah, I can believe it.
Which is really good.
Yeah.
Really good. So, there you go. Messenger, you're off the hook, and I think Wizzo wants to give you a hug from what I read on the page. So next time you see him, open your arms big and squeeze as hard as you can. All right. So heading into the final game of the week, we went up against the Yakult Swallows, of course, and we brought Suguru Iwazaki to the mound, and they brought, Tateyama, I forget first names, broken elbow Tateyama. I mean, this guy is known for having had so many surgeries on his elbow. Anyhow, so this is the rubber match. We're hoping to be able to win this one so that Joe and I can be perfect on the week in our predictions. And the scoring starts in the top of the third. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, Toritani with one out and a runner on third gets a hit to right to bring in the first run to make it 1-0. So good, you know, get that first run of the game.
It was a nice triple, too, yeah. And, I mean, we had chances after that to extend it, but a couple of strikeouts to end the inning, so kind of a bummer. The bottom of the fourth, as As you know, they've got some really killer hitters, and we have been trying to find our way around them as much as possible, but Tetsuto Yamada finally got us with a big home run. You know, just squeezed it in within the lines. But it was a big blast, so it's 2-1 now. They take a lead on us in the fourth.
But we come back and answer in the top of the fifth. Hadaguchi, with two outs, runners on first and third, gets a hit to the left to tie it up with one RBI there, so it's 2-2. And then in the fifth, Kano comes in, and pinch hitting for Iwasaki, and two outs, gets two more runs on an air to right field. So we get two runs there, and it's 4-2 Hanshin.
I could be mistaken. I think he pinch hit for Hayata Ito.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, because I think Iwasaki went another inning.
You're right. I have it backwards.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, a nice error. Thank you so much, Hiane, and it's 4-2.
And then in the sixth, we score another run on another error. Koditani up, one out, and gets a hit to Ballantyne in left field, and he drops it. And so it's 5-2, Tigers.
Yes, nice. And it's looking like we can finally win a game because of another team's poor fielding. However, bottom of the inning, Imanami comes up for them and drills one to left field for a run. So it's 5-3. And one inning later, we bring in Kyuji an inning earlier than usual. And he just looked like a mess. He looked like his old self or from earlier in the year. He allowed a couple of hits. They got a couple of runs. So it's 5-5 after seven. And then in the bottom of the eighth, this is the third straight inning now of relievers allowing runs. This is QG again. I don't know why they kept him in.
Makes sense.
Yeah, because he had thrown a number of pitches, and then the first guy he faced in the eighth, it was a 15-pitch walk, which is an unfortunate way to walk. So Hiane, who blew it earlier in the game, actually came through with some heroics, and he hit the go-ahead double to make it 6-5, heading into the top of the ninth, and it's looking like it's over for the Tigers, but...
Yeah, so we start off the inning with a walk from Fukudome, and then Hadaguchi gets plunked for the second time this game. And then we have Egoshi up with the runners on first and second, one out, and gets the RBI hit to center to score the tying run. So it's looking good, and we have, you know, runners on still, so... but we couldn't get it done after that. So it's tied 6-6.
Real unfortunate because Akiyoshi is a guy that we've, you know, historically not done well against. And in this one, we finally get a run off of him, have a chance for more, and we couldn't get it done, which is unfortunate. And so we bring in Mateo for the bottom of the ninth, and he keeps it tied. We bring him back for the bottom of the 10th, and the wheels fall off for him as well. So... This is again, you know, we've talked about how great our relief has been during this, you know, stretch that we've had. And in this game, both of our most solid relievers, they both blew a gasket. Mm-hmm. So, again, it was Hiane. So, in a way, yeah, good for him. I mean, he gave up two runs earlier on an error, but then he came through with a big hit over center field. Of course, the outfield was drawn in to try and prevent runs, but it's 7-6. And that's sayonara, and that's the end of the week. We go 1-2 against the Swallows. So our six-game win streak against them turns into now a current two-game loss streak against them. Joe and I both said 2-1 in this series.
We could have had it, too.
It was so close, Joe. We were there. We were up 5-2, man. And then our, you know, until now very reliable bullpen. I mean, everybody. Ando wasn't looking good. Shimamoto allowed the first run on a hit. It was charged to Ando, though. QG blew it, Mateo blew it, and there you go. So, end of the week. It's a 3-3 week, which is... It's all right, but I definitely would have liked to have started the Road of Death month with a 4-2 week. It would have been
real sweet. Especially against these guys.
Yes.
You know, the people below us, not the people above us.
Right, exactly.
Well, I mean, the Bay Stars, but, you know.
Yeah, so. So the good news is... Well, today wasn't good news, but Hiroshima has been really struggling too, and it took heroics today from our former, should we call him our former? I mean, he didn't do much for us. Takahiro Arai with a sayonara hit to give them a win this week. Because I think, aside from that, they would have lost five straight if it had not been for his final hit. Anyways, their lead on the Giants is 5.5. And it used to be, I think, 11. So that bodes well for the Central, at least to keep things interesting, even if it's not so interesting for the Tigers.
Right.
So there you go.
Every week, one Tiger stands above the rest. He elevates his game to another level. He is the Player of the Week.
So, in the week that we had, Joe, we actually had some pretty solid offensive numbers most of the way through. I mean, we had, like, our bad game against the Swallows with just the six hits and one run, and then we had our three runs against the Bay Stars in the loss. But other than that, we were pretty impressive with the bats. Have you got a Player of the Week for us?
I don't have a Player of the Week. I have two co-Players of the Week. Whoa, I couldn't come up with a reason to split these two guys up.
Okay.
So, I'll go with the stats first. They both scored four runs. They both had four RBIs. They both had four strikeouts. One had two walks and one had five walks. And they both had two home runs during the week. And they both batted greater than 375. So, very hard to say that either of them had a bad week. So, I'm giving it to Gomez and Fukudome this week. So they both, and Fukudome was one with five walks, but you know, definitely a good week for those guys.
Pats on the back to both of them for sure. High fives to both of them. Maybe big hugs as well. Wizzo, yes, no, haha. Sorry, I like picking on people sometimes. So I'm actually I was really leaning towards Fukudome, and then something jumped into my mind that I want to bring up, and I'm actually going to reverse that. I'm going to go just with Gomez on the solo Player of the Week, even though I love Fukudome and I love the week that he had. I noticed, and I don't have the numbers before me, but Haraguchi had a really rough week.
Yeah, that was to note, yeah.
And Hanshin batted him ahead of Gomez, I believe, the entire week. And what happened so many times was that Haraguchi was the third out of the inning, and Gomez was batting leadoff a lot of times that he came up. So considering that, and the fact that he equaled Fukudome in RBIs, I'm actually going to go with Gomez alone, thinking that if he had batted fifth, he would have had a lot more, you know, men on base, which typically players tend to bat better when there are players on base, and the reason is because the pitcher has to be a bit more hasty. He has to take a bit off his fastball. So Gomez was facing, you know, bases empty scenarios a lot more than Fukudome, and still he got some really awesome results.
Yeah, I did want to give an honorable mention to Toritani this week. He bat 364 with 22 at-bats. So his pinch hit at-bats and his, you know, start after being rested have been good. So, definitely, I think that's been good. And also, wanted to mention that Ito had a good week. He was 5 for 10, so and a home run. So, definitely good to see. And we had, what, 7 home runs as a team this week? So,
hey, that's something new.
Yeah, that's really new. So, definitely a good week for the offense.
Yes. Yes, and that's not to take anything away from the pitchers. I mean, Fujinami could have been Player of the Week, right?
Iwasada
was really solid as well. I mean, he had the gaudy strikeout numbers that Fujinami didn't. So, yeah, I mean, we had some great pitching. So, anyways, great. Let's move on, and, you know, next week, we're excited to see who's going to be our Players of the Week next week as well. Hunching Tigers, English. Let us go on to the topic of the week. And this one is actually a little bit of a lengthy question or series of questions. So I'm going to throw it all out on the table for you to hear and for the listeners to hear so that you can get your thoughts rolling as well. But here's what it is. The Tigers have been extremely hot of late. The last 2 weeks, they've had, you know, really good offensive numbers. They've had some good pitching. They've had, you know, some really good... Well, their record. Sorry. So what is it? What has caused the Tigers' recent turnaround? And then the second part of that is returning to 500 or getting back up to a 500 record a realistic goal? If so, how soon? And, you know, should the team actually realistically expect to be higher than 500 by season's end? And what do they need to do to achieve that goal? Who are the key players in that? Who needs to step up their game in order for that to happen? So we'll start back at the start of those questions. What do you think, Joe, has caused the Tigers' recent turnaround? I mean, there's so many things we can talk about, but give me a couple of things that you might think have in mind.
The first thing that comes to me is obviously the batting. You know, if I looked, I just kind of did a comparison between May and July in the batting as a team, as a month there. And the number of players that bat over 300 in July was 6. Then the number of batters that had over 300 in May was 1. So definitely as a team, the batting has really improved. You know, so Fukudome went 397, Hadaguchi 373, Takayama 366, Araki 348, Nakatani 302, and Nishioka with a 308. So, I mean, as a team, you know, for June, they definitely have turned on the batting, and you know, this week as well it continued. So you know, I think that, you know, looking at those numbers, the batting average has improved drastically as a team, and I think that's the reason we're seeing wins. Is the biggest reason to me is that we're scoring runs, you know.
There's no denying that, but then the flip side of that, and I ask you this, is can we attribute that necessarily to the Tigers bats, or is it the weakness of our opponents and our opponents pitching? Because when I look at our record in the last 2 weeks, which is essentially what we're talking about, because the week before last we were 1-5.
Right.
We faced the Swallows, terrible pitching. We faced the Dragons, not so great pitching and just not so good overall. Then we faced the Bay Stars, and we were playing in their hitter's park. And then we faced the Swallows again at Jingu, so another hitter's park. So I would almost say, as a counter argument, not that I'm fully disagreeing with you, but soft schedule.
Yeah, I agree. It's a soft setup. Next week's going to be another tough week, so we'll see if we really have it next week. I think that'll put the rubber to the road.
I think our next 2 weeks, we're playing 11 games, and 8 of them are against the, pardon me, yes, 8 are against either the Carp or the Giants.
Right.
So the schedule definitely gets tougher from here, folks. So if you're expecting the hot stretch to continue, I don't know. I mean, I hope it does.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Okay, question about whether or not you think this factors in. During 8 of these 12 games of the past 2 weeks, we did not start Toritani at shortstop. What effect do you think that had on the team, either on the hitting, on you know, the environment, the what do you call it, morale, stuff like that?
Yeah, no, I really think it probably gives the guys a little bit of a boost. Maybe not to Toritani, but obviously he had a good week. So maybe it's more of you know, a little bit of relaxation. The stress is off that, you know, keeping him in there. I'm sure the players were getting upset seeing those errors every time and be like, come on, if I had half those errors, I would have been pulled a long time ago. So how's that fair? Mm-hmm. So I really think the guys probably have a little bit less of a stressor there, and maybe a little bit more relaxation there. You know, we've had some errors this week in our, you know, scoring, but, you know, it definitely not been too many that were, you know, run scoring errors. So, right. You know, I think that, I just think it's obviously good for Toritani. It's obviously, I think, better for the guys, the rest of the guys on the team. So I think it's all around a good positive effect on the team.
So here's something interesting about Toritani's sitting, benching, whatever you want to call it. You know, in his absence or when he was not starting, he came in as a pinch hitter or defensive replacement or both. And in those 8 games, was it? The team went 7-1. He had 9 at-bats. He went 6-for-9 as a pinch hitter.
Mm-hmm.
How do you like that? And so I wouldn't by any means say he's our pinch hitter the rest of the year, or, you know, stop putting him in the lineup. But think about it. To have a bat like his, which is dangerous enough, But also, he's just very discerning. And so when the other team is bringing in their relievers who may not have great control, the pressure's on at the end of the game, they've got to make their pitches. Tolley is the guy, man. I mean, if you don't make your pitches against him, he ain't going to swing.
Yeah.
So I really like him at the dish in those clutch situations at the end. Whereas, I don't know. I don't know what it was. Like, it seems like our guys really stepped up in his absence.
Yeah, I mean,
Hojo played solid shortstop. Yamato played a little bit at shortstop as well.
So. Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, in those the pinch hit situations at the end of the game, I think, you know, Kano had a really good week. He scored runs in, two runs in one of the games. And so, you know, he's really stepped it up, I think, as well. His batting average is improving. I think it was like 230, and now it's up north of 260 after this last week. So he's really had a good time. Yeah, he bat 400 this week. So I really think that, you know, that's helped as well in this improvement. But, you know, Toritani, I think, is not necessarily ready for that kind of a position. Yeah, it's nice to have his bat in there at the end, but I think he's at the, you know, a spot where, you know, having him in the lineup 4 out of the 6 days is probably a reasonable expectation.
You know? And I like what you have to say there, Joe. I don't think that just because they've brought him back now that they have to use him every inning of every game from here on in. I think 4 out of 6, maybe 5, is a good idea. You know, give the captain some rest. Give the other guys some experience.
He'll come in and be a good good pinch hitter in those situations. And think 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road, he can be that person, that pinch hitter that really kind of, you know, especially puts the screws tight, when especially when the bases are loaded, because, you know, he can get those walks. So, I definitely see some good sides there to this rest that he's gotten. And I think the rest needs to continue. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing about that is that in 2 or 3 years' time, we'll have a shortstop that's actually confident enough to play every day, or, you know, maybe they play 4 or 5 a week and Toritani plays 1 or 2 a week, right?
Right. Whereas you can right move now, that down over the years, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Interestingly, though, just on that note, one more thing. About a month ago, this is before Toritani was benched, you know, Kanemoto was asked, you know, what's the deal? You know, you're gonna bench Toritani finally or what? And he said, we've got nobody to replace him, which is kind of funny because they found somebody to replace him. You know, that didn't seem to be a problem. You know, they did it. So I don't know if he was just buying time or if that was just his, you know,
I think he probably was talking more permanently, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In other comments, I would say that, you know, our starting pitching has been, you know, good. It's not been great, but it's definitely been good. I don't see that has changed in the last couple of weeks. So, you know, I'd say that's kind of the same as it's been. You know, everybody's having their off starts every once in a while, but all in all, I think our starting pitcher's been, you know, definitely solid this year. And the bullpen has been, you know, been really good except for, you know, the last couple of games.
Yeah. Well, so here's another thing about our recent good ways, and this is particularly against the Swallows. You know, this is a team that's been decimated by injuries. I mean, they've lost Kawabata, who is the batting average champion last year. They lost Hatakeyama, who was the RBI champion last year. And they also lost Yuhei during game one of the series against us. I think the one at Koshien, or maybe it was the one at Jingu. No, it was the one at Koshien. So, I mean, they're missing three of their key batters, and so that definitely helps our pitchers' numbers and makes our pitchers look better as well, because there's, instead of having five threats in the lineup, there's only two, which is, you know, still considerable threats. But, you know, that was definitely playing to our advantage as well. But on that note, I will say, you know, we've done a decent job until tonight, really. You know, done a decent job of containing Tetsuto Yamada. Heading into today's action, he had hit only 3 of his 32 home runs against us, which is really good considering how many games they do play against us. So that's really good as well. I think we've done a good job. Even Vicieto, you know, after those first two series against him, against the Dragons, where he completely killed us, I think it was 5 home runs in 6 games. I don't think he might have won since then against us. So that's pretty good as well. So now let's head to the next question, which was, is returning to 500, having a 500 record, is that a realistic thing for this team? Do you think they can do it? Do you think that they should be having that in their sights right now?
I think it's a lofty goal. to be honest. I think we were, what was the worst we were at? Down 15, 14, something like that?
It was 15, yeah, 15.
15, and now it's 9. Yeah. So before the end of today's game. So it's, you know, we had, so 6, we've pulled it back from 6. You think about, like you said, that the Carp and the Giants are our next, you know, 8 games or something to that effect out of the next 11. Yeah. So, you know, if we can hold that to 500, we'll be good. So then you're, you know, we only have 46 to go, and you take out those 11, we're down to 35. You know, pulling 9 games back in 35, I think is an ask, is a real ask. So I think 500 is probably not in the cards. You know, but I wouldn't put us, I wouldn't say that, that the playoffs aren't you know, in the cards. I would definitely say if Yokohama has a little bit of a struggle, we could definitely come back and you know, put a challenge up there at the end of the season.
Yeah, for sure. Especially the way that we have been playing against them so far this year. I mean, those are the games where we can really gain ground on Yokohama, is when we play them. That's the only time we can control what happens with that gap. The rest of the time, we're kind of at least at the mercy of one other team. So, yeah, back to what you were saying, you know, we've got these 8 out of 11 of our next games against those two teams that are in the upper echelon. Yeah, if we can go 4-4 against them, and then even if we win the other 3 series, that means we go 6-3. That would mean that we would go 8-4 the rest of August into September 1st. So that then, oh no, we don't play September 1st, so we'd have to be, anyways, let's say we're 8-3 or 7-4. We're still, you know, at least, what, 5-6 below 500? Yeah. And then in September, there's not a whole lot of gameage left, and we still have to play the Giants for 6 more. I think they're all against, or they're all at Koshien. Hopefully we can finally beat them at Koshien. That'd be nice. and then we also have, I think it's 5 at Koshien against the Bay Stars, so that's our big chance to gain ground there. And we've got a couple against the Swallows in September, and 2 more or 3 more against the Carp. So, I mean, our September is looking pretty tough, even though there's a lot of home games. It might be hard for us to really get a strong push there, especially given our history of having poor Septembers, which I hope is in the past now that WADA is in the past, but you just never know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know about 500 being a realistic goal, but I would say they need to focus on just winning each series that they're in. You know, when they're in a 3-game series, they should make it their goal to take 2 out of 3, no matter who the opponent.
Yeah.
Take 2 out of 3. That's it. I mean, that's the way to chip away. I mean, if they happen to reach 500, great, but that shouldn't be their actual goal. To me, their goal is, you know, playing every game as though it's a playoff game. And ultimately for the purpose of being able to play playoff games. So,
right.
Yeah, that's what I say. Okay, so what do you think they need to do in order to achieve the goal of reaching the playoffs? Who are the players that need to step up, or what are the elements of the game that need to change or stay the same or whatever? What's your opinion on that, Joe?
No, I mean, after the last 2 weeks, it's tough to say that we really need to improve in any specific area. You know, the batting has been improved. The pitching, you know, has been the same from the starters. The relief has been pretty good. You know, definitely able to hold on to a lot of the leads that we get. Not giving up a lot of late leads. We've taken a couple of those this week, you know, so, so yeah, I, you know, it's hard for me to say specifically what area of the game needs to improve. You know, maybe the starting pitching just a little bit, not give up those 5-run innings, those 3-run innings, you know, be able to hold some of those off the board. I really think we have a shot at it.
Yeah. I would say there are some elements of the game that need to improve, one of which is, I mean, it's kind of a small, fine point, but I'll just point it out, and that is that our catcher, Haraguchi, is really giving other teams the green light to steal second or try to steal second. And of late, I think this week he's gunned down, it might be 3 runners, but he's also allowed quite a few. And I know that teams are going to continue to go until he starts to get that, you know, that gun down rate to at least a third or higher, because at one point it was sitting around 12%. So
Wow.
That's going to give other teams every chance that they, you know, they're going to take every chance that they can to get that extra base. So that's one thing that needs to improve, but it may not determine wins or losses so much. Other things that I would say that they need to do, I don't know if it is, again, is this the scouts? Is this just the mentality of the players or what? But how come we can't find a way to beat this Yamanaka that beat us on Saturday? It just doesn't make sense to me, because I mean, the guy against the rest of the league is 2-8. Against us, he's 2-0 this year, and he's allowed 2 runs, a solo shot to Gomez and a solo shot to Fukudome. That's it. What's the deal? So is it our mentality? Is it our poor technique? Is it the scouts telling us what kind of pitches he has, or what to try to do and what to try not to do, and they're telling us the wrong thing or what? But it just seems like we get beaten by the same pitchers in the same ways every time we face them. You know, whether it's Kuroda, whether it's Michaelis, whether it's Chris Johnson, whether it's the Giants closer, whatever. So I think we need to find ways to beat these guys that have beaten us time and time again.
Yeah, I agree.
I really don't know. I think another key, one of the things that we need to have going for us here, is I think we need for our leadoff and our number two batters to start getting on base more, because that's been a problem through this winning streak, and we've been fortunate to work around it with the cleanup guys really producing well. But Takayama had a pretty poor week, and he's really not leadoff material. Because he doesn't walk a lot, he doesn't take a lot of pitches necessarily. He swings a lot, and you know, when his hits are finding holes is great, but it's really, you're really going to have a lot of hot and cold. But so who's a good leadoff hitter for us? I don't know. And the same thing goes for a number two hitter, because we've been putting Araki in there, and he's really, I mean, he's a guy we called up from the minors just a couple weeks ago, so he's really not that good. He doesn't have a great, you know, like line drive stroke. Hits a lot of grounders and tries to wheel his way to first base.
Yeah.
Hojo, I think he might be the guy. He might be the number two guy. He takes first pitch strike every time, and that means if we've got a decent guy on first base, it's a chance for him to try to steal, because there's no way that Hojo's going to swing. But he's also pretty good at battling in counts, and we saw that in Sunday's game towards the end. So that's a possibility. But I really think the key is those number one, two batters. We just need to find guys that work there. One of my suggestions would be, man, stop with the Araki / Yamato / Uemoto experiment at second. Move Hojo over there. Bring Haig up and send down either Satterwhite or Mateo. Just to get that other bat. And there's no guarantees that Haig is going to do it. And I know people are going to say that I'm a Haig boy or whatever, because I always seem to back him up on the show. But, you know, he hits the ball with more authority than a lot of our guys. He's got a lot more potential for extra base hits than a lot of our guys. And I really think we could use his bat down the stretch.
Yeah, I think Satterwhite's had a rough go of it. He really hasn't had a real good effort yet. I think he's been in, what, three or four games, and he's given up hits every time.
Yeah.
So that could happen.
Yeah, it could. You never know. But so those are my thoughts on the rest of the season. But quite honestly, Joe, I mean, if we don't make the playoffs, I'm not going to be super heartbroken. To me, the big thing is, let's see some growth. Let's see these guys continue to get experience. And one of the encouraging signs for me is, I think they've made a lot fewer dumb mistakes in the last month or so. Like, even in our losses, there haven't been a lot of real boneheaded errors. So that's nice.
Maybe because Toritani's not playing? Maybe? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Cheap shot. Okay. Well, we are going to hear from our fantasy players for the first time in almost a month. You know, we've been just silently watching stats go by and all that kind of stuff, but I wanted to kind of give them a chance to plug their teams, cheer their teams on, and talk a little bit of smack back and forth. Keep in mind, Jimbo actually recorded his before Saturday's game because he's off on a business trip. So even though he sings it up about Randy, it doesn't include the meltdown that Randy had on Saturday. Anyways, give it a listen.
Can't you feel it? Your fantasy. Tigers fantasy. Don't you want it? Don't you need it? Your fantasy. Tigers fantasy. It's here now. You just listen to your fantasy.
Hey, H-Town listeners, look who's back. Yes, it's your boy Zorni here, and guess who's back as well? The Hanshin Tigers. I mean, my whole gang is back. Takayama, Egoshi, Hojo, Yamato, Gucci-san. All getting back on track again. They sucked so bad for pretty much 2 months. But when they start to win again, it seemed that it never happened, or that it was just a bad dream. And talking about bad dreams, the only thing that I have to say is that losing Ishioka was one of the worst things that could ever happen this season. All the best thoughts go to you, Ishioka. Have a good recovery, and please don't even think about retiring, okay? And Jimbo, when you say Cali, I guess you mean California, which is the place that I'm gonna spend my day celebrating when I beat you. You both, Jimbo and T-Ray, in this fantasy league. And sorry, T-Ray, but that means your ruling days are coming to an end. Hail to the new Tiger King. That's it.
Hi, everybody. This is your boy, T-Ray, and here is your Fantasy Minute. As always, the big difference in this game is that I'm better than everybody else. No, I mean, we drafted back in April, so I mean, I can't really claim superiority now, except for the fact that who's hitting all the home runs? Gomez, Fukudome, Nakatani. You go down to the farm, you know, the other guys are getting a home run here or there, whatever, but, you know, I've got guys down there that are doing all right as well. Uemoto, now that he's back down on the farm, is doing great. It's time to send Arai Ryota back down there, please. But then also, the pitching. Akiyama is a farm stud. I'm so glad he's on my roster, man. So all of these guys that you guys forgot about back in April are coming back and haunting you, biting you in the butt. Enjoy your butt kicking, boys.
Hey, hey, H-10 fans, Jimbo here. Yes, yes, I missed you too. It's been quite a while. Yeah. That's what happens when the fantasy ends and the nightmare begins. My goodness, what team was playing for, when was that, June, July? That was terrible. But now that we're back, now that Kanemoto decided, Toritani, put your butt on the bench. And as the fantasy owner of Toritani, I wholeheartedly supported that decision. And the team has had a huge turnaround. And though, I guess you could say my fantasy chances went down the hill when I had absolutely no one in the lineup for quite a few of those games when Tori was on the bench. All of my big guys down on the farm. I've got like one pitcher, Messenger, and Ranmess is amazing. That is the one player that if we did the whole draft again, I wouldn't change that pick for the world. He was my number one pick. I'd stick with that. Ranmess is, he's an Adonis. He is just beautiful inside and out. But the rest of my team is just, I prefer it if they just come in as pinch hitters, and I'll take that either 1-for-1 or 0-for-1. And I can live with that rather than the 0-for-3 with 2 walks. You know, yeah, forget that. Whatever. All right. T-Ray and Zorni, the season's not over. I still have a chance. Prepare to meet Kali.
All right, thanks, guys. Fun as always. Again, we're probably not going to do it every week from now till the end of the year. It's a bit of a torrid pace, but maybe in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe a month's time, we'll check in again with the Fantasy Boys. So thanks a lot.
What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be?
Heading into the next week of play, Joe, it looks as though we are going to be going into Hiroshima for 3.
Zoom.
How fun that's going to be. Yeah, zoomity. And, you know, their bats have not really taken a lot of rest, but their pitchers maybe have not been doing so great. And then actually, we get to come home to Kansai at least. We'll be at Kyocera Dome in Osaka for 3 against the Chunichi Dragons. So, what do you think? Some of the good news, I guess, is that Kuroda pitched on Saturday, so we won't be facing him. at Zoom Zoom, but we probably will face Chris Johnson, and we may face Yusuke Nomura, who is the right now the wins leader in the Central League. But what do you think? Versus Hiroshima, at Hiroshima, and versus Dragons?
I'm going to be realistic here and go 1-2 and 2-1.
Okay.
I'd like to think that we can beat the Carp, but, you know, after the meltdown today, it really kind of bums my, the momentum out. And I think, I don't know. We'll see. But I'd like to see better, but I'm going to go with 1-2 and 2-1 against the Dragons there. So.
Yeah. I'm actually going to do the same. And I'm partially convinced that the scouts don't have good advice for us against these pitchers. Like, I mean, I know Johnson's a good pitcher. I know Nomura's a good pitcher. And I know Kuroda is a good pitcher who we won't face. But it just seems like, man, these guys do have weaknesses and holes, and other teams find ways to hit them some of the time. We never find a way to hit them. And so I kind of feel like the Johnson and maybe Nomura games are our lost cause. But we should be able to take one out of Hiroshima. And I'm going to agree with you on the Dragons series. I want to see a sweep. Okay, just to be different from you, I'm calling sweep. We're going to take all three from the Dragons. All
right.
Just for the sake of difference, we will probably have Fujinami, Randy, and Iwazaki. And I'm saying Fujinami is on a roll now. Honestly, other than the first inning of last week's game, he's been killer for a couple of outings now. Randy is definitely going to want to bounce back from Saturday's mess. And then I think Iwazaki, you know, he didn't go super deep today, and he was facing a tough team, and he was in tough outdoor conditions. I think maybe under the dome he is going to get her done. So we're going to go 3-0 against the Dragons. How you like that, folks? A 4-2 week. Make it happen, Tigers. Yeah. All right. We did not mention everybody, although I think everybody does know. The high school baseball tournament started at Koshien Stadium actually today, Sunday, August the 7th, and it's going to go on for at least 2 weeks. So, if you're in Japan, tune your TVs to NHK anytime during the day, catch some high school baseball action just to keep you excited about baseball. And then, if not, obviously, the other big distraction, heard of anything called the Olympics?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm not too excited about it, but you can be if you'd like to. Go on, check out the Olympics. Go Japan. Go Canada.
Well, sorry, the U.S. won the first medal of the games in shooting, so.
I wouldn't be sorry, but I mean, they seem to be good at shooting stuff, right?
Yeah.
All right. On that note, thank you for staying in touch with us via Facebook, via Twitter, via email, all those things. podcast@thehanshintigers.com if you want to send us an email, tell us about your prognosis for the rest of the year, who your player is that you think needs to step up, etc. You can also hit me up on Twitter @thehanshintiger. So we will catch you in 7 days time. Everybody enjoy the summer heat.
Have a good one.
See ya. ありがとうって今は言わせて